Bam! We're started.
Just like that.
I mean, yeah. It's worked out so far. Oh, shit. I didn't even check if we had any email.
Any ideas?
No, we have ideas. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
We're checking email live at fuckingnewcast.com. Yes, you can see we prepare.
Most, we are super professional. Most, just super duper professional.
Most vigorously with this. It's the best. It's the most prepared podcast. That's why you guys tune in. It's why we have
100,000 listeners. That's right. Eat a dick, Mark Maron.
That's why we have a bajillion listeners.
All of the listeners, everyone.
All right. No email. All right.
All right. Good talk. Yeah.
Brandon Chalmers, what are you geeking on this week?
Jamie Noguchi, I'd like to ask a potentially existential question. Why do I continue to go and bounce from one terrible idea to another to try and make myself feel better about the world? Like, I just decide something. Like, I just decide, like, I want a thing. And then I start to obsess over it until I buy the thing. And then I move on to the next thing I want to buy.
And I feel like, is there a hole in your heart that can only be filled by some other shit?
Probably, yeah. I mean, we can go through the sad short story that was me growing up, but the short answer is yes. So with that said, I've been kicking around the idea of getting something that I don't need. I'm not 100% sure is even practical in a sense, and that really would look fucking ridiculous, but I think would be a lot of fun.
Is it a Pink Ranger Mighty Morphin Power Ranger Morpher? Is that what you've been trying to buy?
No. If we ever do like an intro for the thing, like, a la sitcom style, the video of you trying to be like, is it ha-da-da? And then just watching the morphin token fall out of that thing, that is... Oh, man. That's our Perfect Strangers Dance of Joy is what that is. Jesus Christ.
It's not a morpher?
No, it is not a morpher. Well, I unfortunately set my price point much higher than that with my unnecessary bullshit.
Would it be... possibly two morphers.
Wait, why are they all pink?
Because they were on sale. So I got three so I can repaint them.
Okay. I gotta be honest, it's kind of rad. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That one didn't have the token fall out.
Yeah. Alright, sorry. I keep interrupting.
No. You were fine. So the dumb thing I'm looking to buy is a Honda Ruckus moped. I don't know why. Couldn't justify it. My car works fine. Knock on wood. I have a standard mode of transportation. I think we're at a crossroads of like, I want to have something fun to zip around on, but I don't want to go and take the classes to go get a motorcycle license. And I have a genuine concern about really dying at dumb speed. Because if you add two wheels and a dumb amount of speed, I'm going to do something super dangerous. I know I am.
I have to warn you right now, Brandon Chalmers. Yeah. If you get a messenger bag, you are very close to becoming an indie cartoonist.
I hate to break it to you. I am a proud owner and have been for many a year of a Chrome Messenger bag.
Well, Brandon Chalmers, it's time to go to the art store and get a Winsor & Newton Series 7 Number 3 Sable Brush, because you are wearing the uniform of an indie cartoonist.
Oh, I know this. I'm aware of this. So I can't for the life of me figure out why I want this. Like, I think realistically what I want to go have is like an enduro style bike, like some sort of like, this is a practical mode of transportation for just myself to save money on gas and whatever it is and just kind of zip around, and I could absolutely justify it. But I don't want to spend the money on getting the actual motorcycle license and the insurance and everything else like that. If I went with the Honda Ruckus moped, I don't have to get insurance. I don't have to worry about an extra license. It's just basically a toy. It's a motorized tool that I can use. It also happens to do about 40 miles an hour and get about 90 miles to the gallon.
That's pretty good.
And it also, like, the one that I'm eyeing up is this catch 22 of, like, it's cool and it's stylized. If you want to look it up, it's Honda Ruckus. It's like the kind of pinnacle of scooter. It's very like utilitarian looking. There's a ton of aftermarket crap for it, but yeah, it's fucking dopey looking. Like, but at the same time, it's not a Vespa. Like, I'm convinced me riding around in a Vespa, really terrible. Me riding around on like some sort of like utilitarian style scooter, I'm still a super dork.
Brandon,
but it looks a little less ridiculous.
Brandon, do you have a sudden desire to have a pizza delivery service where you can somehow interact with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles like Ernie Reyes Jr. did in the second film?
You know what? Fuck it. Honestly, if it would get me to lose this gut, I'll join the Foot Clan. Like, I'm looking for some motivation, really. Like, I need a gym buddy anyway.
So what are you going to do with your longboard? Are you going to strap it to the side of your moped?
I don't fucking know. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's the other thing with, like, something like the longboard. I don't have anybody to go out with, so I start to, like, wane interest. And, like, it's cool to be able to go out somewhere and, like, go scooting around, but unless I'm going to go to, like, and this is the real catch 22, I'm not going to go down to D.C. to go longboarding. I'll fucking die in the traffic.
Yes.
Because the cabs do not give a fuck down there.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, so then the question is, where am I really longboarding? Well, realistically, the longboard is a fun toy that I'll take on vacations and stuff like that, and I can hop on, and it's whatever. The difference in between the Ruckus and the longboard, while they are of the similar vein, is the Ruckus is close to $3,000.
Oof, fuck.
And now, there's something to be argued here that if you look at the aftermarket of it, like 2003 versions of this Ruckus are still selling for like $1,800 or $1,900.
Okay.
So they hold their value really well. So if I decided I wanted to get out of the thing, I'm not actually really losing my shirt or anything. I'd probably be out a few $100.
Right.
But it's a question of like, do I need it? Fuck no. But for some reason, I find myself like even tonight, I was like, you know what? It looks real cool. I kind of like it. I'm like, fuck you. Why? Why do you need... Where are you going to ride this? I'm like, I had this idea in my head of like, no, you ride it to work. And it was like, the fuck you will. You're not going to ride a moped to work. You just not.
You need a leather jacket, or you need a jean jacket and a gang logo that just says Ruckus Boys on the back.
Honestly,
with
like...
With a Z. It's got to be Ruckus Boys.
I honestly, as silly as it sounds, if I had... two other people that had these things, I'd go fucking buy one. Like, just two. If I had two other morons to ride around with on these things, I'd absolutely do it.
You could get a sweet helmet.
Yeah, I could go get a helmet. I could go get one of y'all to paint it for me and get it all custom as fuck. Like, okay. I could do some dumb stuff with it. And I know me. I'd actually get up earlier to go ride the thing to work. Yeah, but do I need it? No, I absolutely don't need it.
Were you inspired by the Wu-Tang Clan when they told you to bring the motherfucking Ruckus?
Yeah, well, always. I mean, that's just true of anything, but that's really because the Tom Morello Wu-Tang mashup of Wu-Tang Clan and the Fuck With is a gym music staple.
It's
for
true.
Me.
It's true. Yeah. I understand.
Kids, if you haven't listened to that, please hop on them YouTubes and check that out, because that is, what, 2003 maybe?
Yeah, but it's still a banger.
It's goddamn good. Yeah. But anyway, so I find myself lusting after a goddamn moped, and I have some real questions about my life, like why I can't just get my shit together and start lusting over, like, if I wanted a small motorcycle, I could just go do that. Like, really, I think what this is doing is, this is scratching the itch of, I want a project car. Mm. I don't need a project car. I really want one. And that's a dangerous slope, because I could blow thousands on a project car just trying to figure out what it is and then what I want to do with it. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
It's awesome.
I'm dumb.
It's awesome.
I'm super dumb.
It's great.
So, yeah. So, if you know two friends and are in the Baltimore County area and want to rope a fat friend into this sort of thing, I'm your Huckleberry.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's hysterical.
Yeah. Honestly, if anything, just so that we can film the dopiest and whitest version of the Rough Riders anthem. Just slow-mo on iPhones.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, see? Yeah. You say this, but that's almost worth at least a third of the price.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's almost worth $100.
So anyway,
And at least you're not collecting iPhones, so...
Why would anyone collect iPhones?
I don't know. There are people who, like... who buy into the whole Apple system. Whenever that new thing comes out, they have to get the new device, they have to get the new iPad, they have to get the new that, and all that kind of shit.
I get that. When the new Apple Watch came out, I definitely was like, you know what, it might be time to upgrade, because I have the Apple Watch too, and I actually genuinely enjoy it.
Yeah, but there's a difference between upgrading and hoarding that shit.
That's a lot of stuff. My feeling is always like, trade it in and upgrade, because that was the other thing that, like, Apple apparently, I looked at the serial number, they're willing to give me like $125 for my existing Apple Watch.
Oh, nice.
And when you're talking about buying a like $430 watch, $125 off is a nice chunk of change off of it. I'm still being an idiot and buying a $300 watch, but mm-hmm. I pretend like it helps me actually stay motivated and work out, because my watch yells at me for not being, like, I don't know, active enough.
Get off, like, your ass.
Yeah, it's basically like, hey, lard ass, get up. And by the way, you haven't done your cardio yet today.
Look, phone, or look, right. Watch. I'm trying to kill the braid boss. Which we will never do. Oh, my God.
No. Okay, anyway, Jamie Noguchi, what are you geeking out about?
Well, since you talked about useless things that you that you can purchase, I as well will talk about a useless thing that I have too many of. Speaking of hoarding.
Wait, was I responsible for this?
In a sideways way, kind of. So when we went to we finally took Greg out, after saying we were going to take Greg out for a dinner for the longest time for helping us with our email stuff, which no one uses apparently. We finally went out to Iron Age last week, and unbeknownst to me, two doors down from Iron Age, there's a shop called like Thingamajigs or something.
Yeah.
And it has all sorts of random Japanese crap in there, including a whole bunch of Gundam kits.
Yeah.
And I walked in there and I was like, oh my gosh. I'm glad I didn't find this earlier, because now there are two stores in the area that can supply my Gundam habit. Which is very bad, because I have stacks of unbuilt kits that are like, Hazel has built more kits than I have, and it's a shame, because I have empty boxes. I have unbuilt boxes and stuff.
Hang on, don't beat yourself up about that, because you're a freelance artist who spend a lot of your time doing, one, the greatest thing on the planet, Toku Temper, and two, paying them bills. So if you don't have time to clip little model things out because we're playing Destiny 2, then I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, the plus side with the Gundam models is they're not going anywhere.
That's true.
They're still going to be just as rad when you open them up a year, 2 years, 5 years from now that they would be. And that's something that you can do, like, you start to, like, you want a lazy Sunday, or yeah. you don't feel so hot, and you're just like, you know what, I need to turn my brain off and just do something, like, that just kind of is almost a Zen-like thing.
That's true.
And just kind of like, okay, today I'm going to build the Gundam.
Yeah. So, I already have too many, and that's even with throwing out a bunch of kits when a long time ago, like, when I moved in college, I had one of my favorite kits, but there was no room for it in the place I was going, so I chucked it, and I've been kicking myself ever since. Well, I finally reacquired that one, like, sometime last year, and it's still gathering dust like it used to, but fuck it.
Right.
But anyway, so this is an entirely too long story, but okay, so this is the Zeta Plus. This particular version of the Zeta Plus is sort of like a reissue kit. So apparently a couple years ago, Bandai decided to go back to like all the old molds from like the 80s and just reissue those kits. They were inferior quality plastic. The jointing was bad and all that stuff. They have better plastic now, but they still use all the old joints and stuff. So, and this was a kit that I had wanted for a long time, but I could never find it. And so they finally, the first shop, Hobby Works in Rockville, they had this, and I was like, all right, well, I'll pick it up. It's like $12. It's 144 scale. It's not that big a deal. This particular suit has never been animated, because it's from a side story called, like Gundam Sentinel. And, it was a collaboration between like Bandai and, I think like Hobby Link Japan or Model Graphics or one of the modeling magazines, and okay. Hajime Katoki, who is a Gundam designer who's very well known these days for like designing some of the best suits, but like he got a start doing this thing, and he's responsible for designing one of my favorite Gundams, the Gundam Sentinel, which basically looks like a fucking football player with giant rockets on his back.
Nice.
And the best helmet design I've ever seen in a mobile suit. It's one of my favorites.
So, I'm Googling right now. Go continue on.
Yeah, Gundam Sentinel.
Okay.
So they reissued this kit, and I was like, oh my gosh, nostalgia, nostalgia, nostalgia. Even though I shit on nostalgia all the time, I was like, well, let me see how bad this kit is, because the joints are really bad. The flashing is huge because the way they injected the plastic, the parts are, you know, it's not the best. But I love it, and I couldn't help it, and this is a perfect platform to customize and paint and sand and all that kind of stuff. So last week we went to the little thingamajigs down the street from, or down the way from Iron Age, and I found this version of the Zeta Plus, which was actually animated and featured in Gundam Unicorn. Gundam Unicorn was basically a love letter to Mobile Suit Gundam, all the different series from like the Universal Century era. And there's one episode where they go and they fight in a Gundam museum. And so the pilots go into all of these old Gundams and start fighting with them, including the Zeta Plus, which, like I said, was from a side story and never, ever animated. So I was like, holy shit, I can't believe they made a kit version of this. So this is the evolved, newer version of this kit. This guy has all the new molding technology, so they've got panel lines that are much more crisp. They've got jointing that's better. They have joint covers instead of just random plastic bits that you have to glue. Like, this requires cement. This one doesn't. And this one has better detail and stuff like that. So I was now I have both of them to compare them for no other reason than I kind of want to see how they've evolved their technology and like what's different. And it's not like I have a Gundam channel. Like, I don't review Gundam models, but I wanted to have both of them just for my intellectual nerd curiosity to see how they line up. The newer kits are molded in different colors, so like I wanted to see if they molded different bits in different colors, so
it wouldn't require as much painting as the older kit, and I wanted to repaint them anyway because I wanted to repaint one of them as like Skull Leader from Robotech and the other one like Rick Hunter colors and stuff from Robotech, so I could like combine even more nerdery into this fucking thing. So it's not a $3,000 purchase, but it is still very frivolous.
Okay. So can I ask a question?
Yeah.
With your Gundam obsession, when you make them, what do you do with them?
Well, first I build them stock. Right. First I build them stock just to get them done right. And if I have time, then I'll start modifying things like sanding bits down or adding like other parts to it. Like if I think, you know, maybe this one needs a sword, I'll make a sword out of plastic plate and give it a sword. And okay. Then I'll paint them up and decide the color scheme, because the stock colors are always, they're okay, but sometimes you want to change them up a bit. So like,
right.
When I actually sit down and build and like do a proper build, it's gonna look different. But it's been a long time since I've had the time to actually customize them that way.
Right. But that's not my question though. I mean, like, when they're done.
Oh.
What do you do with them?
I stick it on a shelf.
Okay. Do you actually have like an area where you're displaying them that are complete?
I have a few that are complete, but they're not customized, and they're in various shelves around the house.
Okay.
So
I think like more to like my thought process. So there are some people that I know of, not necessarily friends with, but like one of them is a pro wrestler guy who is super obsessed with wrestling figures and action figures in general. And he's got a room in his house where he's just got cases, like glass cases, floor to ceiling, custom lighting, and he's got just figures fucking everywhere in there. And that's like what he has, and that's his thing. And he does like unboxing videos and the whole nine.
Oh my god!
But he's displaying all them. Weirdly enough, it's actually Zack Ryder.
Oh, nice.
Super obsessed with him. Yeah. So, but it makes me like kind of beg the question, similar to like Lego. I fucking love building Lego. I have no idea what to do with them when I'm done. Like, I see all these cool models where I'm like, oh, cool, the Ecto-1 from Ghostbusters is a Lego form. I'd really like to have that. The fuck am I doing with it when I'm done?
You run around and play with it. I was thinking that maybe I could take like really high-end photos of these things when I get finished with them, but I haven't gotten any done to the point where I would want to like photograph it. And then I think maybe I would just try to sell them, because once they're built, I don't give a shit. Like it's the building that is part of the thing.
No. That is an interesting thought process of turning it into a side business where you actually build them and sell them. I assume there's a market for that.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
So
I think it'd be a curious eBay search of like custom Gundam work or something like that. Because I have to believe that there's a fandom that's interested in that sort of thing.
I hope so. We'll see. So like I'll with these, I'm going to try and see how far I can get. Like I said, I have other builds that require my attention, like, you know, repainting these fucking things.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's an ongoing passion. I actually started webcomics because I wanted to sell Gundam kits. Like, I got a... I was setting up an online shop, and I figured the only way I would get people to come to the shop on a regular basis if I had a dumbass webcomic. So the webcomic started out being about like building model kits and stuff. And then I got my first order and tried to set up the shop, and I realized I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. So went to webcomics instead of selling Gundam kits.
Okay.
And that's led me down this wonderful, strange road.
Interesting. Okay, so what's the topic for this week?
All right, so let's consult our thingamaduber.
Master list of things.
Gibson guitars.
Oh, fuck, here we go.
How do we save Gibson guitars? So, for those who are not aware, Gibson guitars, famous for the Les Paul, are going bankrupt. Well, they're filing Chapter 11 or something like that.
So yes, so they are going bankrupt.
Yeah, so they're going bankrupt. Gibson, perhaps besides Fender, like one of the most well-known guitar brands in the fucking country, in the fucking world. Like, Les Pauls are still highly coveted guitars, if you're into that sort of thing.
Right.
You learned on a Gibson Firebird. You have...
Yes.
You have a Gibson. I once wanted one. I got one. I didn't like it, so I sold it. the scale length is... The 24 and 3 quarters just... It doesn't work for me. I need, like, 25 or 20. They're in danger of going bankrupt. Not only Gibson, but Guitar Center at some point was also facing huge financial problems because people right. just weren't buying stuff. So right. I guess I wrote this down earlier in the year when all of this stuff had just been in the news. Like, there were a couple of articles like, "Is guitar dead?" and like, "The death of guitar."
Oh, fuck off with that! With the death of guitar. It's the death of retail.
Yeah, the problem. It's like millennials are killing guitar.
Oh, fuck off with your shit! Like, oh god. Okay, so let's curb that very quickly. We are not about to blame fucking millennials because one, it's bullshit, and two. I count as a millennial, so fuck off with your shit. I'm a proud owner of 7 guitars.
You have 7 guitars?
I have 7 guitars.
Oh my god.
One of them is the Gibson Firebird, or actually, I have an Epiphone Firebird, which is what, the subsidiary of Gibson?
It's the budget model. So I think those guitars are made in Korea, or that's something funny. Like that.
Fine, cool. That means the electronics are going to work.
Yeah.
So the idea is I own 7 guitars. I do not own a Gibson guitar. It has been priced out of my price range.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I think part of the issue that Gibson is having is that I think they've kind of – it's eaten its own tail. It's similar to like a Harley-Davidson mm-hmm. where it's gotten so out of hand from just being – a damn good guitar company to like, it's a lifestyle brand. It's like, no, the fuck it's not.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of wonder if maybe they've gotten so big and so full of themselves that they've lost sight of what they're doing.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at the 2019 line, which they're releasing to sort of answer these problems and try to make more affordable versions.
Right.
So, okay, check this out.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Keep going. I'm looking to see...
Explorer Tribute starts at $13.99.
Yeah.
Firebird starts at $11.99. ES-335 starts at $19.99. Flying V starts at $13.99. Let's see if... What is their... Oh, a Les Paul Junior Tribute, which is $7.99. So that's actually...
Yeah, I'm looking at the 2019 line for solid body guitars.
Yeah.
There ain't anything under $1,200. Yeah. Okay, so
yeah.
I think let's cover this real quick. For anybody who's not a guitar nerd or whatever it is, or has ever had the like inkling of like, I want to learn how to play guitar, here's what you're going to do. You're going to immediately set a price point in your head of how much you want to actually spend to dip your toes into this sort of thing. For most people, it's anywhere between $100 and $300.
Mm-hmm.
And that depends on whether or not you're going to do an electric guitar. If you're going to do an electric guitar, you're probably going to push more toward the 150 range. You're yeah. going to do the following. You're going to go to Guitar Center. You're going to go ahead and you're going to find yourself a Stratocaster brand, whatever it would be, knockoff Squire Stratocaster. Squire.
Yeah.
Right. And you're going to buy the budget version of the Fender guitar. And you are going to do one of two things. You're going to have it. You're going to love it. And you're going to then slowly upgrade and buy new guitars, and your love affair with Fender will continue on through your life. You'll branch out in different directions. You may find something that you like a little more, but most of us do the kind of Fender math.
Yeah.
Or you do the other thing, which is you try it, you go, you know what, this isn't for me. You find a nephew, a neighbor's kid, and you go, hey, I got this thing, give me $50 for it. And the cycle goes on, and these Squire Stratocasters are fucking everywhere. You can buy them for a dime a dozen.
They're actually really good now. They're
right, but yeah. That's the thing, is like, I'm not shitting on the guitar. It's a perfectly serviceable guitar if you want to learn how to play and you're going to fiddle around in your basement, your office, your living room, whatever it is, with a pair of headphones on. You just learn how to play. It's a perfectly serviceable guitar. You can make good noise out of it. You can put a nice pedal to it. It'll sound pretty damn good. I don't know if you're going to want to play a live show with it. You can definitely play Freebird in your living room.
Freebird!
Look, so I think my question is has Gibson gotten to the point where they make too many fucking guitars and too many high-priced guitars that they started to kind of remove themselves from the market?
I think there's a lot to that, because they, like, for PRS collectors, they call them doctor and lawyer guitars, because PRS guitars
are
way too expensive.
Right, they're way too expensive.
But the difference is PRS is not going out of business, whereas Gibson's getting bit in the ass, because I think there are just too many Les Pauls. Like, there are, like, at least 10 different model Les Pauls, and the differences between them are minuscule as far as the layman is concerned. Like, maybe your audio snob can hear the difference between, like, a Les Paul Custom or a Les Paul or a Les Paul Studio, but, like, average Joe listening to the fucking MP3 version of whatever record you're playing can't hear that.
Yeah,
and that's who you're supposed to be playing for, because you gotta sell records. So, and there's no guitar in their lineup that is for the beginning musician. If you wanted to play Gibson, you have to go to a used guitar store and get like a banged up piece of shit that
nobody buys a Gibson for the first guitar. Yeah. Nobody. And the love affair then is a drooling on the it's the Lamborghini on your wall sort of thing. You've got the Lamborghini poster on your wall as a kid.
Yeah.
You're going to drive a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
There's a good chance that over time you're going to fall in love with Hondas, or you're going to fall in love with some sort of Japanese style car, and the chance of you ever buying that Italian supercar are slim to none.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of my fair comparison. So I was trying to think of like the PRS guitars are super expensive, super limited edition, super this, super that, right? I would call them your Ferraris or your Lamborghinis. Top tier, super rich shit, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to compare models here, right? So I would call a Gibson a high-end luxury guitar, but still able to be purchased for the masses. You got a fair bit of disposable cash, but it is not a $7,000 pearl inlaid guitar.
Right.
So here's my comparison. I would call a Gibson, on equation with a guitar, if we're going to use the same analogy, to a Jaguar.
Okay?
Jags have a line. I literally was just looking on my phone to look at the current lineup of Jags. There are 7 models in the entirety of Jag right now offered in the U.S. 7. There are more than 7 hard body models of Gibson guitars, just hard body. Then they have hollow body, then they have acoustic.
Oh, yeah.
They offer something like 40 different style guitars for 2019.
Yeah.
Is there a point where you stop basically doing the good? Like, why are there 2 models of the Firebird guitar?
Pick one. Let me see. I will tell you why.
Well, there's a $2,000 model and there's a $1,200 model.
I will tell you why from these photos, because I'm that kind of douchebag.
Go ahead.
They have different pick guard configurations. One has dot inlays, one has the abalone inlays.
So but realistically, okay, so you're talking $800 difference for a pick guard and some abalone on the fretboard?
Yes.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah, like, I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
This is the thing, is Gibson needs to get the fuck out of its own way. If they made 10 types of guitars,
mm-hmm.
kept the body styles, your Firebirds, your classic Les Pauls, your hollow bodies, your Gibson Explorers, your SGs, like the one that was made famous by AC/DC,
yeah.
and like three acoustics, and then like an acoustic electric, and then something special. That's 10 models, right?
Yeah,
that covers fucking everybody. That's all you need to do. Make 10 really good guitars, or actually make 9 really good guitars, yeah. and then do an entry level model.
Yeah, and I think they rely on Epiphone to be their entry level stuff, because unlike Fender, the way the Fender, when you're getting a Squire, it's a Fender. And then the Fender lineup already has like Mexican-made guitars that or Korean-made guitars that are like within the $300 to $700 range.
Right. Yeah.
And then you go up from there. And then you go up from there. But they have you're always in the Fender family, and Gibson pushes all of that stuff off to the Epiphone brand.
Right. Like that's the thing is like, and also the body style is identical. Like buy a Squire, it's identical body style. The wood is cheaper. The sound isn't as nice. And like for someone who's a guitar player, and I know we're losing people already. I can hear Greg just kind of going, guys, you're getting lost in the weeds. You pick up a Squire in a guitar center, the cheap $100 model. Okay. It's a fine thing. You pick up like an American made or a Mexican made Stratocaster. The feel is different. It's heavier. It's denser. It feels nicer. There's a sense of presence to that thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if Gibson has it. And I think they've lost their ability to do it. And I almost wonder, like, as terrible as it sounds, because we know someone who directly is affected by this. Should Gibson just die?
I don't know.
Should they just, like, cut back and just be like, look, we're going to make 10 or 12 really good stop being a jack of all trades. If you're a jack of all trades, you're a master at nothing.
Yeah.
Be fucking good at one thing.
Yeah.
Make the best hollow body guitar money can buy.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Now, make the best this one. Period. Move on. And like be able to stand behind it and be able to say it. And like imagine if Gibson said, yeah, the PRS is a very nice guitar. Go ahead and pick up an SG compared to this and tell me the Les Paul or the PRS sounds better. Tell me it feels better.
It does, because the SG is a piece of shit.
But you get what I mean?
I
almost wonder if they've budgeted themselves out of this thing. They try and make so many goddamn guitars. Like, how do you stay afloat as a company if you're making that many models and you're not selling that many guitars?
Yeah, I think they need to streamline the lines. I mean, they're clearly leaning heavily on the Les Paul. I don't have my Sweetwater catalog in front of me, but if you go down the 2018 lineup, there's like, you know, 7 or 8 different versions of the Les Paul. And the differences are, you know, maybe this one has a figured maple top, this one has like this configuration.
But I think
what they need to do is just have, here's your high end version Les Paul, here's your basic version Les Paul. And these are your two models for 2019.
And that's it. But like here's the thing with guitars, Jamie. You rarely ever replace a guitar, you just add a new one.
Yeah.
Guitars don't go bad like cars.
Right.
There's, you know what I mean? Like it's a pretty simple thing. Do you actually know anybody with a Les Paul?
Johnny has a shitty Fender bullet thing that is actually is no longer made, that he picked up for $200. That sounds amazing.
Right, but that's not a Les Paul though.
No, we had a Les Paul between us at one point and we both decided that we needed to sell it.
Right, but this is what I'm saying is I don't know anyone with a Les Paul.
Yeah,
you don't know anybody with a Les Paul.
I don't think
this is
so.
What I'm saying is between the two of us, we know a lot of musicians. We know a lot of classic guitar guys. I think it is in the level of like it's an entry level doctor and lawyer guitar. It's a dentist. You know what it is? It's a fucking dentist guitar.
It's a dentist guitar. Yeah.
It's a dentist guitar. Yeah. Dentists who want to be rock stars are fucking playing Les Pauls. That's what you've made, Gibson. You've made the exciting dentist thing.
Yeah.
It's the thing I shout at Harley owners when they ride by and they try and look really hard, but they're not actually wearing like a cut of any sort of like motorcycle gang or group.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking, like I shouted out the car, fucking dentist. Because you and I both know you clean teeth for a living, and there's nothing wrong with that, but stop trying to act like a hard ass and stare me down when I'm sitting in traffic.
God, there's no reason that a SG should be $1099. An SG tops should be like $500 or something.
Right.
It's literally a slab of wood with a fingerboard attached to it.
So
there's no figuring in that top. It's just
I think you know what? Let's just cut this right here. Gibson, and potentially, as silly as it may sound, there's a chance that someone may actually see this. I want to see you go back to your former glory. I am a kid, grew up watching Led Zeppelin and watching AC/DC, and those guys played fucking Gibsons. Angus Young swore by his Gibson. Malcolm Young, if I'm not mistaken, swore by his Gibson. Jimmy Page played a goddamn Gibson with a fucking bow.
Yeah.
Like, swears by those things. It is the sound of my childhood learning about rock and roll. It is absolutely culture personified when it comes to guitars. However, you have found yourself in a price point where I'm not interested.
Yeah, it's impossible. And
if I'm more interested in spending money on a fucking Honda moped than I am on a Gibson, that's even less than the moped. You have to ask yourself the question, where did you lose me? Because as I get older, my disposable will become greater. And if I don't have that desire of having that bucket list thing of that guitar that I chase after, if you're not it, you have to start asking why not.
Yeah. Let me see by comparison. What is an Epiphone Les Paul? What does that cost? Of course, I got to go to a like Sweetwater or some shit like that. Of course, I know where to go. Epiphone. I have a Sweetwater representative, Brandon Chalmers.
Of course,
Jamie. Yeah, like $599 for the high end Epiphone Les Paul Standard Plus Top Pro Honeyburst. I mean,
I ain't paying $500 for an Epiphone.
That's right.
Paying $500 for an Epiphone. If I'm gonna do that. I'm going to get something fucking rad. I'm going to buy a used one. I'm going to buy – and that's not putting money in Gibson's pocket. The secondhand market ain't putting any money in Gibson's pocket at all.
Epiphone Les Paul Studio. So that's the Les Paul without the curved top.
Right.
$250.
Right.
$250. Epiphone Les Paul. Right. I don't understand – I think what happened was that Gibson acquired Epiphone and then started to use that brand as their like budget brand.
Close Epiphone. Make a couple good Gibsons. Make the Epiphone, the Squire. Ain't nobody spending no $500 on a Squire.
Right.
It's Sony and Iowa. Remember Iowa back in the 90s? Ain't nobody blowing no money on an Iowa stereo.
Yeah.
Nobody is.
Yeah.
That's the idea. That same brand, same electronics. I could literally get, like, you open the goddamn thing up and it said Sony on the inside of it. And I didn't give a fuck because it doesn't have Sony on the outside.
Yeah, I think you might have something there. If they started selling the Epiphone Junior, cut that headstock like it's a Gibson headstock and put Gibson on the name and then, like, Epiphone in as a subtitle or whatever, people would buy that.
Yeah.
People love their Squires.
Yeah.
People buy, like, Squire tops out maybe at $300, $350, whatever. And people still buy it because it has the Fender name. It's a Fender Squire. It could be a Gibson Epiphone.
Yeah.
And if you put Gibson first, you're buying a Gibson.
Here's the thing, okay? And I go back to my car analogy. Smart cars. They're made by fucking BMW and Mercedes. Ain't nobody buying no smart car for no, like, fucking $35,000. Yeah. They're just not.
Yeah.
But they're buying base model BMWs at $40,000 without thinking about it.
Yeah.
Your brand is where the money is.
Yeah.
Quit trying to fucking nickel and dime everybody. Make a quality product. Quit fucking around with it.
Yeah. And I don't know enough about the history of Epiphone because it was a separate company at one point. But, like,
who cares?
I think you're right. You need to... I mean, that's the only way people will start by picking that shit up. That's the only way you're going to get a high school kid.
You have too many models right now for that thing, and none of them are entry level, and I don't want an Epiphone. I want a Gibson. And if I was going to buy something, I'm going to buy something to the secondhand, or I'm going to go find something else. I priced myself out of getting a Gibson. I gave up on it. I went and I picked up a Dean Flying V.
Yeah.
Like, I did. I went more the metal route. Like, I picked up a Schecter Griffin. Like, I went the more metal route because I said, fuck it. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to find a more quality guitar at a lower price point because that company's hungry to make money, not sell me a brand name.
Mm-hmm.
Even PRS, and as expensive as they are, the PRS SE Standard 24 is $499. It's still a lot, but it's still.
Right, but I can buy a PRS for $400, for $500, or I can buy an Epiphone for $500. I'm gonna buy the $500 PRS.
Because
At
it's
that price point, you're cutting out the market.
and it's got the name on it. It's not like
Body's still gonna be the same.
They just gotta absorb that shit, and people would be back in business. They would love that shit.
Gibson, stop it. Just stop. Just stop it. Stop blaming other people. Stop letting all this shit happen. Stop trying to solve the problem by throwing more guitars at it. That's not the problem. Build quality shit. Create a good quality product and quit screwing around.
Do you think that so there's the theory that like when you're tabling at a convention, you have like the low price shit, you have the mid price shit, and then you have like the one thing that costs like a whole bunch. Do you think they need to make the basic line but also go like ridiculous and make like
How fucking much more ridiculous can you make? You've already got a what, $3,000 thing? Like that's you've got the thing.
That's true.
They're already, and honestly, how much more could they charge for a guitar? What else could they put on it?
Don't
Like
look, don't.
the only way that they could charge more for that is if Jimmy Page himself just came all over Les Paul, and then the factory people just slowly just like rubbed it into the wood that you got the essence of Jimmy Page into that fucking Les Paul.
Oh,
Yeah, like just hand rub, like it's just literally like you see Jimmy Page come out, ask for a Gatorade and a sandwich, and hand you some sort of guitar with like a little bit of Lubriderm, and some dude in a Tyvek suit just comes out. Thank you, Mr. Page. And then just lovingly just fucking rubs in the wood grain. Like, the fuck else? Like, what else can they do?
I do
What,
not.
honestly, what else can, like, what else, let's see. Every one of them has the solo, look, there you go. Every Sunburst Les Paul has the solo from November Rain actually played by Slash in a wind tunnel on top of a piano.
They
Like, every one of them has been product tested by Slash.
Eddie Van Halen with his anniversary guitar did that. It was like his eruption guitar based on his original Frankenstein version, and he guaranteed that each one of them would have eruption played on it by him and like a certificate of authenticity.
Okay, cool, but like I'll fucking at least then I know like fuck it, like if it's good enough, if he can fucking play it, we're fine. Like fine. That's, you know what? That's really what I want. I'll pay $3,000 for that fucking guitar if you get a video of Slash walking up, holding up the plate of authenticity, number 4466, right? And he hops up on top of the thing. They fire up the fucking fan, and he just starts in, squee, squee, and just fucking goes super hard in it, and then just smiles and looks and goes, "Congratulations, 4466," and then sends off the video, and when you go to register your guitar with Gibson, they send you the thank you video, and that one's
Oh
yours.
my God.
That's it.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, like and you can have super blowhard versions, 'cause like Steve Vai ain't doing anything. He's just fucking hanging out in somebody's garage. Get him to play something, like every one of these models has the Cliffs of Dover played on it, and like right, and that's it. It's like it's a plate of authenticity along with a brief video of what's going on and them actually doing it, and just fuck it.
That'd be hysterical. Oh my God.
I mean, realistically, what are you gonna pay the guy for the set of it? He plays the same riff how many times, or he plays a riff how many times, or he plays whatever the fuck he wants, but he holds the individual one. It's the plate. You get a video of it. You know. Well, fuck it. If he can play this on it, I know it's good enough.
Yeah. That would be amazing. Why hasn't anyone done that?
Yeah, right. Like in between Slash's Snake Pit gigs, he just hangs out on the tour bus and just cuts iPhone videos of him just testing guitars. Like some dude from Gibson in like a minivan just follows him around, and they just rotate out stock. He just Like, while everyone else is driving the next gig, he's hitting up a FedEx Kinko's, just sending them out to fucking customers, just right out of the van.
That would be great.
Yeah, like, we just call them, like, tour editions. And it's literally just them out in the vehicles or out on the buses or wherever it is or backstage. And every day they're cutting a new one and they're just sending them out. And you just go, limited stock available, order them. And then, like, as they order them, they cut a new one.
Yeah, I think that answers a lot of questions. You get the low end, you get the basic end, and then you get the high collector end for the lawyers and the dentists and the politicians.
And also just collectors. Like, if you're a Guns N' Roses fan, if you want to buy that one and you want Slash to actually play it, and you say, yeah, it's got a certificate, but who the fuck believes Gibson? It's got a video with the plate in. Like, the plate that's on the back of your guitar. You individually stamp and number them, and then that's the plate, that whatever it is, and they hook it up to it, and just, boom, there's your guitar.
I love it. I love it. All right, well.
If you guys actually do that, I want some sort of finder's fee for you to hire.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
We're going to do this together.
Yeah,
because you know what? I'll be the guy who follows them around. I have shipping experience. I'll hang out. Follow Slash around with a bunch of guitars. Just be like, hey, Slash, we sold number 4666. And he'd be like, right on, man. We'll hang out after the show. And I bring it to him. We cast a little iPhone video and me dusting it off, flipping the plate over, 4466. Hey, Slash, you ready to play 4466? Fuck yeah, man. I'd love to play 4466. Like, throws the top hat on, cigarette in the mouth. I fucking throw up, like,
so good.
even if I do a shit video version. I do, like, one of those little hand fans.
Yeah.
Like, just the spirit of it's there.
And it's got to be a shitty video, because if it's too produced, it's going to look fake.
Right. It needs to be an iPhone video.
Yeah.
Like, I just record on the phone. I send it back to Gibson. They keep copies of the video on file for them. And then when they sell the guitar, you contact Gibson. You send them a photo of the plate, and they send you the video.
I want this to happen.
It's a simple business model, honestly.
Yeah, I would never be able to afford it, but I want this to happen. I want them to do this.
If you were a super fan, you would absolutely go and do that. You'd pay for it.
Yeah.
As a collector's item alone.
Yeah, and it has to be Slash, because he, like, revived Gibson in the 80s. Like, like people played Les Paul because of his solos. It's just... That's how it happened. Like,
yeah, and honestly, you could even do a thing where, like, you do a crowdsourcing thing of who do you want the next signature tour model to be from. They do fan things, and then the person who gets voted, you have to then basically create a pre, like, you almost do a Gibson version of Kickstarter. We have to sell this many models before we are going to send our technician Brandon out to go hang out with, I don't know, John 5 from fucking Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
And he does a special version of it, and he plays, you know, the Beautiful People over and over again on the fucking guitar.
He's a Fender artist, but that's okay.
But
yeah, I think this is a great idea.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't whored themselves out like this before.
I don't know if they felt comfortable enough about it, but if you make it a fan thing, like if you're trying to sell big guitars to try and make up some of the money, then fuck it. You're already making these guitars. Slap a plate on the base of the neck, slap a custom plate with an individual number on it, well done, and fucking send a kid out and to go hang out with Slash and fucking have him play guitars.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
Like they couldn't build 50 of those custom Slash versions and send this kid out in a Dodge Sprinter van full of these things and just have Slash go and do them and then bring them back and then record them. And then the next time they just schedule an afternoon with Slash and he goes and he hangs out behind the show and we go and we do it like on site. And it looks like you just show up and you just hang out with him. And he goes, hey, I'm hanging out in the back of the Fillmore in Silver Spring, Maryland. We're going to do a show tonight. But before that, I'm going to do this video, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah,
and he just squeak. This guitar sounds great, just like my signature model. Thanks for all the love and support.
Bam.
And then just send off the video, and you're like, fuck yeah, Slash played my guitar. And then you go sit in your thing, breaking at ultimatetabs.com, and you're fucking playing November Rain. For your $4,000 Slash guitar.
Yeah.
Oh. You rich.
It's an experience.
Yeah.
It's an experience.
Yeah, it is dentist catnip is what it is.
Dentist catnip. Yep. Oh my god. All right. Well, with that,
it took way too long to get there, but I think we solved that problem.
I think we solved the problem. We got the low end and we got the high end, and that's all you really need.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. It won't take a business ninja to figure it out.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you get that job, Brandon, because it sounds like an amazing time hanging out with Slash.
It absolutely does. Slash, I look forward to hanging out with you, buddy.
All right. Email at us at info@fuckingdoitcast.com and if Brandon, if Gibson's calling you, what where should they call you, or where should they message you?
They can either message us at the same Fucking Do It Cast email address, or they can find me on Instagram at Balmer Brandon, or they can feel free, you know what, actually I'm not giving out my email address in the public.
Okay.
Fuck you guys. Okay, you know where to find me. Google me. You're gonna find me.
Okay,
trust me. You have somebody who definitely knows how to find me.
All right.
Wink. Hey, buddy.
Hey. And hey. I'm Jamie Noguchi. You can find me a whole bunch of places. You already know that you're watching this on my channel, so fuck it. All right. Later.